Welcome to the Live Wealthy Podcast with Dawn, where we are growing our wealth and our worth at the same time. You ready? Let's go.
Well, welcome everyone to the Live Wealthy Show, where we teach entrepreneurs how to get more out of their income through maximizing their investments, minimizing their taxes, and maximizing their thinking so you can all arrive at your version of enough. And today, I am lucky enough to have Mr. Dan Martell with me today, and we are here to discuss everything about your brand new book that just came out called Buy Back Your Time, which I'm so excited because as a wealth advisor, Dan, as a wealth advisor, what's really important to me are those two commodities that we all have and how to maximize your time and your money. But before I bring on Dan, I just want to do a quick introduction. Dan is a worldwide coach. He is a best-selling author, and this book just came out in January of this year.
Yep.
So already a best-selling author. He has exited or scaled, built, and exited, how many, three different companies?
Yeah, built companies a lot more, but yeah, three exits.
Three exits in 10 years. So if there's a guy out there that knows how to maximize his time and his money, it's Mr. Dan Martell. Thank you for being here, Dan.
Oh, thanks so much, Sean. This is an honor. You have such a great energy. I love following your stuff, and I know that your message aligns big time with my life philosophy, so I'm pumped.
Absolutely. So, Dan, let's get into this book, Buy Back Your Time. What I want to know first and foremost is your pain that you've experienced in life, which is really the why you've written this book. So let's talk a little bit about the book first and foremost, and really the why behind why you wrote it.
I mean, I always joke with people, I wrote it to buy back my time because, well, yeah.
It takes a lot of time to write a book.
Yeah, but the interesting part is I've been teaching this philosophy for 15 plus years, and it would always confuse me why people still struggled. You know, like literally entrepreneurs are like, Dan, I watch you live. I watch you grow businesses. Like, how do you do it? And I would just show them everything. I'm like a very open book. I would walk them through how I do my calendaring and my inbox and my assistant and, you know, my teams and my leadership style and all this stuff. And then they would still like miss it. And, you know, I had a friend of mine call me one day and he's like, dude, you need a book. And I'm like, I'm doing pretty good in life without a book. Like, I, you know, like, as you said, it's a lot of work. And it took me 2.5 years to write this book. But what I did is I wrote down 25 people's names, my brother, my wife, my good friends, clients that I love, that I knew at some point struggled with one aspect of this concept. And I wrote, and I wrote for them. I wrote for the situations that I saw where they went left and they probably should have went right. I wrote for the mindset blockers that I knew they were having. I wrote for the potential that I saw in them. But, you know, sometimes if people don't ask, I don't think it's our place to say. Like, it was actually a really therapeutic book for me to write because it gave me the space to love on people in a way that was like not direct, but incredibly direct, because I literally would think of the scenario where I saw them do something and I would tell the story, not their story, but a story of somebody that was in a similar situation. And that's why I wrote the book. But, you know, from personal pain, I mean, there's nothing that I teach that I can't point to a moment where I experienced the biggest of pains around that area of my life.
Right. And so you understood through your pain that your biggest commodities are time and money, and how do you maximize both of those? What was that one, if there was one time in your life where you're just like, I'm done. Like, all I'm doing is churning and going and doing and like, and not being able to get ahead. Was there one time in your professional career where you're just like, you know what? I have to turn this time into more money, or I need to turn my business into working and leveraging for me so I can actually buy back my time.
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many moments, right? But I think the one that really, like, made it land, where I was like, okay, I can't outwork this problem, because I think that's where a lot of entrepreneurs get to. They're like, my job is to hustle. My job is to work. My job is to get up and do everything it's going to take. And you listen to the motivational videos and you talk to the people and you hear the grind and all this like language around like you get kicked down, you know what I mean? But there's a point where you got to be honest with yourself and say, I'm not effective, right? So a lot of people get stuck to this busy concept. Yes. And I don't, and I was that person. And it got to a place where for me, I was engaged to a woman. We'd been together for about 2.5 years. During that time, I built my third company, the first company that had any traction. The first two were complete failures. And because I had some traction, I was so scared of losing momentum, right? Like you finally figure it out. You're like, I don't know what it is, but I'm not going to mess it up. I'm not going to sacrifice not having success. And in that, you know, 100-hour weeks all in mentality, I come home one day working on a Sunday and I find her in tears in the kitchen and she can't even breathe. She's beside herself in tears and she just takes the ring off and drops it on the counter and says, I'm done.
Because you weren't there.
She was just done.
You were married to your job. You were married to your success, which makes sense. You failed a couple of businesses and you're like, this one's really taken off.
I don't know why. I don't want to mess it up. I have a recipe. It feels like it's working. And this was what I realized in that moment. She didn't ask for any of it. She didn't want any of it. I was so bad as a partner. And this is 7 weeks before our wedding day. I mean, my whole life fell apart in that moment. So anybody that's grinding, that's building, and at that point we were probably about $3 million in revenue for it. Like it wasn't like when was it going to be enough?
Amen. My story, right? It's about enough.
Exactly. And I love that message you share with people is like, I am enough, right? Because the other day I was talking to an entrepreneur and, you know, I asked her her goals because she wanted some advice and she goes, I want to exit for 100 million. And I was like, okay, let's work backwards. Da, 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 da. She's like, okay, I need to get to this level of profitability within this time frame, exit for 100 million. And I go, question. She's like, what? I go, why?
Nice.
And she goes, because then I'll be able to tell everybody F you. Mm-hmm. And I said, tell me more about that. She goes, well, I'm not saying F you to you, but F you. And I go, what do you like? Tell, she goes, then I'll be able to tell everybody that ever said no to me, ever doubted me, ever second guessed me, ever was confused by my actions when I decided to do things that everybody like didn't believe in. Mm-hmm. F you.
But the real issue is there is that she potentially doesn't believe in herself.
Well, this was the punchline. She says this to me and I go, why do you want to do that? She goes, because then I'll feel like I'm successful. And this is a woman who's $2 million in revenue. I said, do you realize how rare you are? I said, Google it right now while we're on the call. Googles it. She's in the 0.1% club of entrepreneurs that ever do that kind of revenue. And she thought there was going to be a magical day where she's going to feel enough.
And she's going to give up all of her time for the next. I mean, to go from a couple million to 100 million.
Yep.
That's a lot of time.
Yep.
And that's okay. If you're willing to, if you don't have a wife or a husband.
Just know what you're getting into.
Right, exactly. Where it's about maximizing your time and making sure that you're in alignment with your time. And so many times I find through building wealth for the last 24 years for people is that, you know, it's this internal dialogue that we have from our childhood that we aren't enough or we believe in scarcity versus abundance. And so we don't stop enough to think about what we're doing. And then all of a sudden we blank and we're 85 years old. Mm. And it's like, so I have 100 million. I can't spend 100 million.
Well, and this is where this was the mic drop when I said this to her and she got in tears. I go, you could be that today.
And you already are that today.
And that's where she literally started tearing up. And I said, you could literally feel that, be that, own that today. And there ain't no place you got to get to.
Right.
And it was, you could just see her shoulder, like just her whole physicality change because she realized like, this isn't heavy anymore. I don't have to do this for this outcome that someday then I get to feel a certain way. It's like, you literally can look in a mirror and go, you're enough. You have everything. You have such great intentionality. You have just such great habits and motivation to give other people. Like, just be there now. And from that energy, let's build.
Yes. Because it's okay to want more.
It's
okay to, like, we want to teach people financially and internally that, you know, how do you arrive at enoughness? And it's okay to continue to grow because we're human beings. We evolve and change every day, right? So we want to continue to grow, but it's the reason, the why behind the growth that matters. Is it to tell everyone to F off?
Yeah.
When those people aren't even paying attention to her anymore, right? So it's all the stuff, this garbage we make up in our head that we have to release through personal development and building internal wealth. And knowing when you do that, you actually can continue to build your external wealth. Because who doesn't want more money? Who doesn't want, like, if you're wanting to build a $100 million business because you're willing to give, like we talked about, right? Like giving and you know, creating this transformation in our world that it so desperately needs, that's a cool motivator.
Yeah.
But if it's to build, to tell someone to F off, you can tell them to F off today, right?
Well,
come on, we all tell people to F off all the time.
Yeah. And to me, it's a dark energy versus a light energy.
Yeah. So right? I love the fact that you're coaching worldwide.
Yeah.
For people, I mean, you're transforming their mindset, which we all know. And, you know, mindset and then the technical aspects of how to get there. So I love the fact that you're teaching people the mind aspect and having them dig deep, but also giving them the how-to tools to continue to build, if that's truly the why behind the why behind the why of what they're really building.
Totally.
So you've been super successful, and we all know that we stand on a mountain of failure. So the fact that you had two businesses that didn't do well and one that did extremely well, like, that's every entrepreneur story.
100%.
Right? It's just the more successful we are, the more failures that we've overcome. So I know, Dan, that one thing that's super important to you is visualization.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me about how you've used, and I've used it too, so I'm super excited to hear your story on this, how you've used visualization to get to your level of success.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, that kind of dips their toes into manifestation, visualization, you know, energy work, et cetera. Like, they've probably heard of The Secret. They've maybe seen some of the, you know, the legends of that space.
Right. Pause. There's a
grasshopper. You want to grab him, Sam?
Sorry. Thank you. You're a rock star. I've been able to hear a word he said, kind of like, oh.
She's like, oh my gosh, this grasshopper is going to attack Dan, or worse, me, and that's not going to work.
Thank you, sorry.
Okay. God, he's just such a hero. I love it.
A hero.
Thank you.
Yes. I was like, oh.
Resume.
And by the way, scorpions eat those crickets, so that's why.
Yeah, if there's a scorpion, or if there's a cricket, there could be a scorpion.
Okay. So let's go back. Should I just ask a question? Yeah, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
So, Dan, I know you've been really successful, and one of the items that have gotten you to your level of success is visualization. I've used it in my success. You obviously have, too. So talk to the audience right now and talk to me about, like, visualization. How do you use it to create this life that you truly want?
I love that question, Dawn. Here's what I believe. I don't believe we get the life we want. We get the life we focus on. And keeping a picture, because our mind doesn't think in words, it's visual, it's images, front and center is everything for me. So I'm very intentional about the content, the people, the things I look at to inspire my thoughts, because I understand that nothing in this world, if you look around at all of this studio, this city, none of it existed till it existed in the mind of a person first. What a crazy idea. Like, people need to understand that we're technically living in other people's dreams. So because of that, I do two things that I think are unique. One, I set my vision board, okay? And I usually do it for a three-year period, revise it at the end of the first year if any of the stuff came true. And I set the image. Most people put it, like, someplace, and, it, you know, unfortunately, most people, like, create it and they put it in a drawer and they never look at it again. I put mine as the wallpaper of my laptop. And it is, nothing's on the laptop. There's no icons. It's literally, I open up my laptop, it's right there. And I take, and I always stop and I just allow myself to go through each one of those scenes and live there, be there, breathe in that space, see myself doing those things that I want to do. And one of my coaches, he has this great process where he actually, and this came from the sports world, where he recommends you actually go into the scene, but use different camera angles. Speed it up, slow it down. Go black and white, add music. Like really it's almost like a 4D experience of visualization. And most people just, it's 2D, right? It's flat, mm-hmm. right? But if you actually go into that, you know, you flying private, you on the yacht and like get in that space and really like breathe the salt air. Yes, like feel it as if yes. it's is as true as you sitting in the chair you're sitting in. Right. That's one thing I do that most people I think would you know gain a lot by trying. And the other one is for like the leading goal. You know, there's this great question I like to ask my clients is like, what's the one domino, the first domino, the one thing that if you do, everything else in your life gets easier or better? And I set that goal as the password to my laptop. So that way, every time I log in, like I know it, like, and guess what? Then all of a sudden I show up. Why? Because I'm connecting the neurons of the goal to my physicality of typing it in. I'm reminding myself of it. Yeah. And like those two things, I don't know. I started doing it probably like a decade ago. And it just feels so easy and light for me to be able to keep those thoughts, those pictures front and center. The other thing I do is I have my 12 goals for the year pinned in my notes on my phone and I review them 3 times a day. And the reason I do that is because even sitting here with you, Don, like I just review them because I do it when I like get in a car or sit at my desk. Those are my two triggers. Is I now know what I'm trying to accomplish this year. And in conversations and spirit and energy, I'm bringing that into this space, into the day, into the week. And like, I just think most people don't review their goals at a frequency high enough to actually keep them front and center.
Right. It's so important. And there's scientific proof behind visualization. Like it's worked for me in everything that I wanted to do, even when things are out of my control. It actually comes back with the scientific proof. It's because our subconscious mind doesn't understand reality versus what's happening in your conscious mind, right? So this isn't just manifesting and visualization. There is proof on how to get that in your subconscious mind so it can really play out. And when you feel it and you touch it and you see it and you smell it and you hear it, which you're doing, which I love. In fact, I'm going to do that. I have my vision board electronic too, but it sits on the corner of my desktop. And I have this beautiful, like I love beautiful homes and I have that as my wallpaper, but I'm going to change it now because what you just said, I'm going to change awesome. It to my desktop because it is, it's seeing it, it's feeling it. We don't want to ask you what your password is and what your one thing is because we don't want people access to your computer, but that's such a beautiful thing, right? You're using all the sensory part of a human being to really manifest what you want in your life. And again, you want, is it safe to say that you want more time? You want to be able to control more of your time and live life in time freedom and leveraging money to be able to do that. And that's what your book is about, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is today, and since, I mean, I've been blessed because like at 28, I became a multimillionaire. So at 28, I had the privilege, also the curse. And I know it's first world problems and people are like, what are you talking about? But it is, because when you can do anything, anything is a possibility. Some people are actually lucky that they have some level of constraint on guidance of their life. So for a long time, I've been really thinking about what do I want to accomplish with my life, right? So my goal today is continuously refine, like what lights me up? Like, what do I absolutely love doing? What would I do for free? And you know, people are like, oh, I can't do what I love to do for and make a living out of it. And I go, yes, you can. I was literally this morning at the gym, I was telling my buddy Sam, you know, people love consuming social media content and motivational content, right? Like I do. And like some people, like they probably would do that other than go to class. And there is a job today called a time stamper. And their job is literally to watch footage to timestamp where the golden nuggets are. Okay. We have 3 of them on our team. So like people don't realize that if they actually just allow themselves to lean in to figuring out what is the thing that lights them up that actually makes them money. Because to me, the money part is a value creation thing. Nobody's going to pay you for doing something that doesn't create value. It's an energetic exchange, and dollars are like battery packs, right? It's like I get capital, that's money. I get to redeploy that energy into other stuff. But yeah, my life today is really about trying to optimize how much can I give, honestly. Like I wake up every day to say, how can I create and give more of me than anybody else in the world and do it in a way that energetically lights me up, that serves me, that doesn't take away from my commitments to my family, to my health, to my faith. Like all those things to me are just part of it. And that's why I wrote this book. Like the frameworks in the book will allow anybody to create a life they never have to retire from.
Yeah, which is beautiful. And again, we get caught up in the dollars, right? And sometimes, you know, as we chase the money because we chase the lifestyle. I mean, that's really what we're doing. We're chasing time freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, too, and how to buy back your time. Like, we all have strengths on this planet. You have strengths. I have strengths. You have weaknesses. I have weaknesses. But if we build our empire around our strengths and what's really, like, our God-given skills.
Yeah.
And we focus on those. You can actually take those skills and those strengths and apply to any industry. Like early on in my career, I was like, I'm going to be a singer dancer. Like I cannot, like I used to sing and dance on cruise ships. I used to, like, I love performing, but I was like, ooh, this ain't going to pay the lifestyle. Like my husband's a musician. I was like,
Somebody needs to make some money.
I need to make some money. So how did I take my strengths and my skills and apply it to an industry where I can actually make money? And that's super important to align your leveraging your time and your money to an opportunity where you can use those strengths, whether it's social media, whether it's, you know, whatever your passions are. And you can take those and apply it to different industries, too. So you can actually buy back your time.
Totally.
And that's what we all want. We want to maximize our life.
Totally.
So I just love talking about time and money. I could go everywhere and anywhere.
This is your jam. I mean, this is why I love your content.
Because we all want, like, and it's our version of time
and
money.
Yeah.
Right? So I want to give our listeners some tactical how-tos. So
totally.
You were a multimillionaire before you were 30.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had to guess, because I experienced it the same, around the same time, being a multimillionaire, and it has its curses, because the more money you make, you increase your lifestyle and you still feel broke.
Mm-hmm.
You still feel like, oh, I got to shoot for more, right? I need to have more. So with that said, I would love to know the tactical part about, you know, you built, you scaled these businesses. And really, like, how did you do that when you were time poor and maybe money poor too? Because we think we're money poor.
Yeah.
Right? It's that curse of that. So we feel like we're money poor. We feel like we're time poor. And how were you able to become this multimillionaire at such a young age and be able to maximize and leverage your time?
Yeah. And I mean, this is the thing. I'm going to be honest with everybody listening because that's just how I am. I'm going to share the frameworks that have helped thousands of entrepreneurs do this when they had no money. Okay. Cause a lot of people listening, they're like, I'm barely making 50 grand a year and everything's allocated. And you're telling me I got to spend money to buy, you know what I mean? So it doesn't compute. Here's what I know. Cause I've helped so many people with this problem is a lot of it is just self-worth. And most people don't believe that their time is valuable. So one of the most important concepts that I could ever sell somebody on is that they are worth more than they give themselves credit for, because you will never get a penny more than what you think you deserve. Period, full stop. And if you don't act like that, as we were just talking about visualization and pulling into our lives, you will never attract more. So in many ways, what I have to convince people to do is just believe that whatever they think they're worth, whatever they're currently charging for their time, let's just double it. Let's just start with that. Let's just say if you're charging 50 an hour for your thing, you start telling people it's 100 and you believe it. And you got to do what you need to do to start believing it. And it usually starts with keeping the commitments you make to yourself in private. because that's where your self-confidence is going to come from.
Absolutely. And let's just talk about a gender thing here, because I'm a female, you're a male, and I think it's easier for us women to talk about worth, because we can, it's acceptable for us to cry and to get soft and to like tap into our emotions. And I think men have a harder time sometimes with the worth stuff, because it's not like powerful enough or strong enough to be able to say, you know, I have emotions and I have feelings and I need to do this inner work, right? And so women, it's more acceptable for us to cry and be like, yes, I need to work on my worth. But men, especially, because I think from just being a man and being strong and physically strong, mm-hmm. that you're expected to be emotionally strong. You're expected to not fail. You're expected to try to be perfect and to, you know, to support and to be the leader of households and all that kind of stuff. But it comes down to, yes, you're okay. It's okay to feel as a man. It's okay to cry. It's okay to admit.
And express.
To admit that you're feeling some lack of. And that you're not enough, and how that it's actually a strong trait of a man to express and to tap into that emotion and go, you know what? I do need to work on this because I am a human being. And when you do that, you actually become a better human being. You become a better in your personal and professional life, and you become a better giver. And that's why I'm guessing you give so much. Is because you've accepted, like, yeah, I do need to work on my worth, too. Because we all do. It's more acceptable for a female. But sometimes males with, I don't even want to call it ego, but a lot of times it's just like it's not acceptable in our society for men to feel like they have to tap into their emotions and it's a weak thing, but it's actually a strong thing.
It's fascinating because I coach predominantly, I mean, I don't know why, it's just a lot of women follow my stuff. I'd say half of the people in my coaching programs are women. Now, what I will share is they are way more, especially when they get together, they're way more expressive and being honest about, like, here's how I feel and here's, you know, the worst stuff that you just mentioned. But financially, they have the hardest time with putting their prices up. Fascinating to me. I'm like, but men, oh my gosh, I have some men that literally say, oh, I'm worth $10,000 an hour. I go, dude, you don't even look like you, like, can you look in a mirror, man? Like, stop yourself. I'm not gonna sit here like, you don't even look like you made your bed this morning, you know? And then there's these other women that I coach that their design is on point. Their stuff is so dialed in and they're like, they're embarrassed to ask for anything. They literally do a bunch of free calls, free sessions, free workshops, free all this stuff. And I'm like, no, 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 no. You are world class at what you do. I know a lot of people. I'm going to look in you in the eyes. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to point to everything you're doing, why you are the best of the best in your field. And you need to be charging and asking people to invest in themselves at the level that your male counterpart does. And it's got to stop and no more. I'll literally say, you're not allowed to say any word that comes out of your mouth about your pricing that doesn't start with a whatever.
Yes. And what I love about this, oh my gosh, this is why women need men and men need women.
For that and other fun stuff.
And other fun stuff, yes. Too. Well, yes, yes. It depends on where you're at in your life.
Yes.
But 100% agree, but that, you know, like, we've gone through this, like, women empowerment and women movement, and, you know, people are like, Dawn, your message is just for women. I'm like, no, it's not. It's actually not for women. Just, it's for women, but it's not just for women. Because we need to come together in this society of, it's not girl power and boss girl and all this kind of stuff. No, it's, we need each other. And how do we grow together? That's why men and women get together a lot, because we feed off of each other.
Yeah.
And you can bring value in my life and I can bring value in your life. Men can bring the wealth.
Yeah.
Women can bring the worth. And when you combine those two.
So good.
It's so good, because I have helped people and myself build wealth, wealth, wealth. Like, I'm not afraid to ask for more money. You know, I'm not afraid to earn 7 figures a year. I'm not afraid to that. But I realize that I was externally, like, being the strong, wealthy woman, but internally I still felt broke. So I was like, damn, how do I, like, build up my self-worth and have that meet the wealth? And then that combination together is what buys happiness.
That's so good. I love that idea that that men and women need each other.
Yes.
Because it is the yin and the yang, right? Mm-hmm. It's the confidence and the softness. It's the directness and the empathy. It's the, because like when you meet people that, you know, that you admire, typically it's because they have the range, right? They're not one dimensional. And I think that's what makes people interesting or interested. And like, I've never correlated those two things, the wealth and the worth. I really love that.
Yeah. And it's so important for me, you know, even building up people's wealth. Like for 24 years, all I did is do financial planning, investment management, tax prep, doing clients' taxes, like all the technical aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized people still had this enough issue.
Mm.
Because they weren't looking at the yin and the yang, the soft skills, the hard skills, like understanding being technical and behavioral. Like we as human beings need both of that. And I love that you do that in your coaching too. It's not just like you're teaching people how to scale and build and exit businesses and how to get paid for what they're worth and build these amazing companies and using your time and leveraging people to help you grow.
Yep.
And build, but it's also like understanding that it is a mindset thing.
Mm.
And we all know that it's not like if you really peel back the mind and the visualization, it's really the emotions.
Can I share something on this? Because yes. it was something that happened to me recently that I think would really serve people. I have a belief that oftentimes the people closest to us are too close to see our greatness. And what happens is their beliefs in us shape us. They shape our belief in ourselves and our worth, all these things, right? Our let's call it your parents, your best friends, your spouse, et cetera. And I remember recently, it was actually a long time ago, but I was talking to my brother because my dad, every time I talked to him, you know, I grew up in a really challenging environment, got in a lot of trouble as a kid. So in many ways, he sees me still as a 40-year-old person. He sees me as this like troubled youth. Okay. Even though I've had all the success I've had, he's been, you know, been around the jets and the mansions, but he's still, I don't know why. And I remember talking to my brother, who's also successful. So it's kind of awesome that him and I both kind of came from like literally not a great place to build what we've done. And I was like, bro, does dad ever like make you feel stupid? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, it's just like every time I talk to him, he asks me these questions about like, do you consider this? And what about this? And it, you know, the questions make me feel like he thinks I'm an idiot. And he goes, yeah, man, dad does that, but he does it because he loves you. And I go, oh. And he goes, you know what, man? I don't think dad realizes like how financially wealthy you are. Like, you should just tell him. I go, what do you mean? He goes, like, just show him. Like, he knows, my brother knows, we do some real estate deals together. He goes, you should just show him. And I said, whoa, okay. So I log into all my online bank accounts, click, 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 screenshot them, just text it to my dad. The message says, I don't know what you should do with this, but I just wanted you to know. And I sent it to him. And I think finally, my dad is going to breathe and realize I'm not that kid anymore and that I'm okay, okay? He calls me and he's like, I don't know why you sent that to me. I did not realize this. Aren't you worried that you're going to lose it all? And in that moment, I realized that his insecurity for me had nothing to do with me.
Nothing.
Nothing. He had money stories that would never allow him. My dad never achieved, like, he never became a millionaire or anything. And because for him, money meant losing it. Money meant fear. Money meant, and I was just like, oh, geez, this is not about me. And when you talk about what you just said about like people I've helped that had money and I helped them with tax and they got more money, but they still act poor. They act scared. They act like they lack. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is fascinating because then it's not about the money.
It's not about the money, but let's call a spade a spade. You were raised in that environment. I was raised in a similar environment. And we get that shit stuck in our subconscious mind. And so we have to, as adults, continue to tell ourselves and to not live in our parents' mind. We look up to our parents. They're our North Star for 18 plus years or 50 years or whatever, right? And we want to be accepted by our parents, but we also get caught up in that loop of dad has a scarcity mindset, and I understand why they do. Like, let's not pounce on dad. I mean, their parents grew up in the Depression.
They've never read a book on personal development. Like, let's be honest here.
So they're only doing what they think is best. Mm-hmm. And they're we got to be blessed to be in those situations that we were in childhood and even as adults.
Shaped us.
Because it shaped us to be able to create content and to change people's lives. That's what you're doing. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But we still as adults live in that childhood brain because our thoughts and our beliefs about money and life are formed by the time we're age 6.
Really? That young?
Yeah. Like you can't even tie your shoe. Whoa. I mean, girls can, guys can't because guys are slower than
A little bit slow. I love it. I'll take the stabs.
But think about that. So like, you know, you think about your book here, Buy Back. Actually, I kind of matched the book a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I love it. The Buy Back Blue.
Buy Back Your Time is because of your pain of working your ass off and probably feeling like you needed to do that to be able to make this money that you didn't have growing up because you wanted something more for your life. You were married to your work. You weren't married to your fiance. You were married to your work.
And if I'm being honest, to prove my dad wrong, let's be honest.
That we don't have to prove anymore.
Yeah.
But it's true, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're chasing this made-up stuff, this fear we all have. Not just dad has it. Mom has it. I have it. You have it. And it's through personal development that we realize that the fear's going to be there as we age. I mean, I'm a decade older than you. I am. But what we realize is that it doesn't control us.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there, but it doesn't control us. And I think that's so important for people to realize that. And I love, you know, you and I, like, maybe we have the same parents. Maybe we were, you know, like, connected at birth and then got adopted. Who knows? Because I so believe in this book, Dan. Mm. It's time and money. And so many of us, because of how we were raised, because of our childhood, because of our insecurities, and we're all insecure.
Mm-hmm.
We are all insecure. We just need to continue to work on it. But we need to chase time and money together. I call it worth and wealth. You call it time and money, right? And it's how do we use money? It's a tool. Money's just a tool.
Yeah.
How do we use that to buy back our time?
Mm-hmm.
So that leads me into the next question about you think it's dumb to never retire. Let's talk about the why behind that comment.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I think retirement is a fascinating idea that I just don't subscribe to is because I don't believe anybody should wake up every day to do something to eventually reach a place that they then eventually will give themselves permission to enjoy. Like, that's most people's retirement is, I'm working for 25 years doing something I don't enjoy to get to a place where for most people, physically, they're not in the best shape of their life. Energetically, the resources they have isn't plentiful. Like, I just don't understand why when you can do the opposite.
Okay. Which is what? Tell us what you're doing.
The opposite is asking yourself, what is a perfect week look like? Like, that's what I do. I teach it in the book. It's one of my chapters. Yeah, like, sit down and actually, you know, I walk everybody through this exercise of, like, here, write down all the ingredients that would make this week an awesome week. And for a lot of people, it includes, well, love to get my sweat on. What am I going to do for a workout? Who do I want to spend time with? What are the conversations I want to have? What kind of meaningful work would I like to do? Because I don't think anybody just wants to sit on the beach. Like, it sounds cool. It's not. Like, literally, I wish everybody could go spend 3 months on a beach and go, like, oh,
get it out of their system.
Yeah.
And be like, okay.
3 weeks in, I'm good. Yeah. Because people, like, even the concept of happiness, like, people say, oh, I want to be happy. It's like, no, you want to feel fulfilled, right? Like, humans want to feel useful. So when you actually, like, put all those ingredients into, you know, a calendar and you schedule it, it turns out there's a lot of extra time. Like, it's not, people are like, I don't have the time. No, you do. You just need to, like, be a little bit more intentional and disciplined about where you allocate it.
They're spending all their time in the noise of life that doesn't get to the next
Distractions, the conversations that don't move things forward, the low energy because you didn't go to the gym and you should, the laying in bed and binge watching, you know, the next season of your favorite show because I got to recharge. It's like you got to recharge because you're doing shit you don't like.
Correct.
Let's be honest here. So I think that a better plan, and this is why I teach, is ask yourself these questions, design the week, and then do it in a way that it's a routine and rhythm that feeds your soul. So like, for example, it's small, but like, I like to read in the hot tub. Why? Because I feel like I'm on vacation. So every day I read because it feeds my mind, it ramps everything up and it gives me new ideas. And I'm doing it in the hot tub after my workout and I feel like I'm on vacation. And that's like a mini vacation that Dan gets every day. So like a lot of people, they have to go on vacation because their life is so freaking hard that I'm like, why don't you just make your life not so freaking hard and it feel just like you. So like, it's this whole idea of like, you know, I just want to teach people how to build businesses they don't grow to hate. Like that's my movement I'm trying to like bring to the world is how do you build a business that you don't grow to hate? Because most people quit because the business started to hurt. The business started to suck. The business took away from other parts. It doesn't have to be that way. I back it with real math and real strategies in the book. And then from that place, design a life you never have to retire from. Like an empire, and it's the subtitle of my book, Build Your Empire, is because an empire for me is a life of creation, an unlimited creation that you never have to retire from. It doesn't matter if you're a podcaster, a logo designer, a freelancer, whatever. It's just like get to a place where what you're doing is who you are. And it just feels so good. And you work with great clients and you have rich relationships and you feel really good about the skin you're in, right? Mm-hmm. The worth, the enoughness. And man, watch you create from that place. Mm-hmm. It is like once you like, because
the energy.
Oh, that's why I talk about it in the book. It's literally a time and energy audit. Uh-huh. The first exercise is let's do a time and energy audit. And I'm going to give you permission to stop doing things that don't give you energy. Because if you actually stacked up what I call a bunch of green meetings, green moments, green activities in your day, by the afternoon, you're on fire.
You're ready to go to the gym.
Yeah, you're not tired.
Right. Yes.
And it's just, and guess what? You will create 30, 40, 50, 100 times more outcomes because people will feel that from you. Mm-hmm. You know, like I always tell people, how are you, Dan? Amazing. Whoa, geez, amazing. That's crazy. The woman this morning at the store said that to me. Amazing. I don't get amazing. I go, why not?
Right. I'm not just good. I'm amazing.
No, I'm like literally incredible. I am so grateful for the day. Like I don't want to be morbid or anything, but there are people that did not wake up this morning and I did. And I will not pretend like that isn't a miracle.
And you also woke up in Scottsdale.
There we go. We're just beautiful. Can imagine the
right.
July, August.
But it is. Everything stems from within. It's not the external stuff.
Nope.
It's the internal stuff.
We get what we focus on.
We get what we focus on. And if you're going to focus on noise, then you're going to need your 3-week vacation every year.
Yeah.
Or if you give yourself mini vacations in the hot tub with a book every day.
Yeah, retreats with your spouse, like all that stuff.
All of that stuff. You know, in my wealth advisory firm, there's 12 of us, and I allow my team to live and work a live wealthy schedule.
Hell yeah.
Which means it's about results. And it's not about 5 days a week. Like, I allow them so much flexibility. I'm like, you operate based on our core values of our company. One of them is results. And if you operate from that, you have my trust and freedom, my trust for you to live in freedom. And if you want to go to your kids' soccer game at 3 o'clock on go. If you need to go, you know, like have some, and I know people talk about life isn't balanced. We have seasons of balance, but I do believe that just like you're saying, it's like I give my team permission to retire and go enjoy their time while they're in their 30s. In their 40s, in their 50s, because if you wait until you're 70, and by the way, no one's going to be able to retire now because a lot of people aren't going to be able to retire because they've spent a lot of money and they haven't saved enough, right? So they're going to still be working into their 70s.
Yeah.
Or maybe 80. So we have to make sure, like you're saying, build something that you love so it doesn't become work, that it becomes impactful and it feeds your soul. And don't feel guilty about that. And understand the technicalities and the number that you are trying to achieve, not just going after the $100 million to have dad accept you, or to have mom accept you, or to look
or to have
bigger.
You accept you.
Amen to that, brother.
Yeah.
Mic drop on that, right?
Yeah.
Accept yourself today.
Yes. It's available right now.
Yeah.
You are enough. You've always been enough. You were created, my belief, by our Creator.
Amen.
In His image.
Yes. Right.
And if anything, we spend most of our lives trying to get to a place where we unpack and take away all of the stuff that doesn't serve us, right? When people see me, you know, you drive around in a supercar, people go, what do you do? And I know the question. I know where it comes from. But what I always say to them, it's what I don't do. Let's talk about what I don't do. Mm-hmm. I don't vape. I don't gamble. I don't play video games. I don't sit on, you know what I mean? I don't hang out with people that don't support my dreams. I don't talk shit about other people. I don't do all these things that I know are the things that are holding you back. And I also know that is not who you are. At your best, purest, godlike self, that person isn't present. So let's talk about who you really are. Because I see them, all these kids, and I love it. Whenever they see me, they're like, "Forever your engine, I love your car." I go, "Do you know what kind it is?" If they tell me the model, I'll let them sit it and start the car.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, just for the kids though,
right? Yeah,
not the adults, not the parents. Yeah, and but in those moments, the reason I do that is because the kid that is that passionate about that kind of stuff,
yeah.
When they're sitting in the car, I whisper in their ear, I tell them about their giftedness. It's
that they can achieve.
It's one of my favorite things I do.
Mm-hmm. Because that's your passion.
Oh, it's like
those kids.
Oh yeah, I mean,
changing their elasticity of their brain.
Yeah, in a moment where I know I got them.
You got them.
I got them. They're sitting in the car.
They
started
mind.
It. Big smile. And in that moment, I get to say, "Hey, man,
you're enough."
And I was just like you.
Oh, I just got the goosies. It's so true. Everybody needs to hear that message, especially our younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Love that.
Thank you.
So let me wrap up with one last question. I teach people how to arrive at enoughness. So I want to ask you, Dan, what is it going to be, or how are you going to know? Or maybe you already have arrived at your version of enough.
It's a great question. I spend more time thinking about, let's say, the philosophy of this than I think most people would ever realize. Like literally, because like, again, financially, I've been in a position to live a life that I absolutely adore and love. And anytime I feel like there's friction, I give myself permission. I mean, it's why I wrote this book very specifically. So sometimes I like question, like, should I be content sitting on a rock? You know, when I study the Buddhist philosophies, when I meet people that are deep practitioner of meditation or, you know, oneness or whatever, like, you know what I mean? Like I ask myself, like, am I truly free? But why do I have a part of me inside that desires to become more? And this is just where I've come to. And I reserve the right to change my mind. I have strong opinions loosely held. So I believe, as I sit here today, that when God created me, He had a vision for what I was capable of. I call it the 10.0 version of Dan. And it is my skills, my best traits, all that stuff, the best habits of somebody that he believed that I was here to become and do that. And at the same time, while I do that, share that person with the world, share that process with the world, share. And that world for some people could be your kids. Cause I know I got two boys and they are my world, right? It could be your family. It could be your church. It could be your CrossFit gym. I honestly don't care. I just believe that. I believe that in our DNA, it is programmed. Even the Buddhists. Think about this. If they didn't believe this, why would they write books about Buddhism?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so all these people that are master Zen, you know, meditators on rocks and mind like water, you wouldn't even know this is a thing if they didn't believe in this concept, right? Because they got to a place where they became that, their best self, their truest self, the Jesus inside of them. And then they've shared that process with the world. So that's my enoughness. And as long as I wake up every day to do those two things, game on.
You've already arrived.
Game on.
So if you've heard what Dan said, his enoughness is living in abundance mm-hmm. by fully living and maximizing your time and fully giving.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also my version of living wealthy. So I love the fact that you said that. Dan, it's been a pleasure, an honor. I feel like we're sitting here in Scottsdale, Arizona, in this small little area, recording this, and I just feel so blessed and honored to have you a part of this conversation today and teaching people how to buy back their time, teaching people how to live wealthy, which is the same thing. And I also just want to say that thank you to your dad, who not only raised you, but allowed you to be you and to work through the trials of childhood to give you that energy and that motivation and that drive to share this message with the world. So thank you, Dan's dad.
I'll let him know. His name's Vic. We call him Fit Vic.
Yeah.
I love you, Dad. Yeah, he's going to love this.